You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
I'll come round and give him a hug while he's holding down the mic for me.
Yes. Okay. Come here. Give me a big hug. He's coming around, folks. You know what? You give the best hugs. Hugs, Mr. McKaiser.
And you smell so nice.
How are you doing? It's so nice to see you. Hope you had a good weekend. If you're wondering what
I am, I'm not on the way to America. I don't come from one of the banned countries. I know that that's the other thing that's been giving you sleepless nights.
Well, do you know the fascinating thing for me is I'm in like complete disbelief with what's happening and the meltdown on Twitter. You know, I was thinking to myself, if this had been, say, 30 years ago when there was no social media and people sharing information the same way that they do, what would the reaction have been like? How would people react to what's currently happening? And, you know, it's quite interesting. If you read Donald Trump's tweets, for example.
Yeah.
Have you tried reading the tweets? I'm sure you have, okay?
I do read the actual tweets. I haven't read
the responses.
But I'm going to after you told me this
Do yourself a favor and read the responses that he gets from the tweets that he tweets. Mm. The language that's used, the foul language, the abuse that he's getting himself, is quite astonishing. And that's democracy, I suppose, that people are expressing themselves. But boy, oh boy, there's quite a lot of anger that is being vented right now on social media. And, you know, people are posting stuff. People are and the fake news is back in the frame again. So it's really interesting to see how this is playing out on social media. This the stuff that Donald Trump's moving on, talking about. So we are talking about the hug that we almost had, but we do have hugs all the time. But this is a different kind of a hug. It was kind of a mobile hug because this week I've been playing with this device called the Ninebot Mini Pro. If you're wondering what this is, I'm sure you've seen the Segways. Have you seen those Segways that you often see security personnel
in
shopping centers?
I like them. They
look so cool. Yeah, they maneuver around. It's like a two-wheel device, and they maneuver themselves around. Now, this is the same company that makes the Segway. They have come up with the Ninebot Mini. And it's interesting because this company is now owned by Xiaomi, which is the Chinese consumer electronics giant that, you know, you might know the phones that they make and a whole lot of other Internet of Things devices. But this little device is pretty cool because it's really a personal transportation device. It's battery driven. You know, it's actually not a toy because a lot of people in the office saying, oh, that's so cool. You know, should I get one for my kids? I wouldn't get one of these things for your kids because I think it's mainly to be used.
What are they for? Are they meant to be a serious functional gadget?
I've
just tweeted on it, by the way.
I just knocked the microphone off. What's interesting about this, when I first saw this at one of the conferences abroad, this thing has got capabilities for it, number one, to be remote controlled. So from my phone, I can actually control this device from my phone. So if you can see, there's my phone. The app is open. It's connected to the device via Bluetooth. And then I can actually start controlling the device and, telling it to go around this way and go forward and backwards, etc. So when you ask, there you go. Can you see it moving backwards?
There we go.
It's going around. So if you think about somebody who's inside a home, right, and has got no mobility, the idea behind this is that eventually it's going to have enough artificial intelligence that you can attach devices. You can attach an iPad to it. You can attach, something to it that you can have it as a visual interface and give it commands. But primarily, I suppose, it's going to be used as a transportation device because it does travel at 18 kilometers an hour, and it has got a range of 30 kilometers. And it's four times faster than walking. It did take a bit of time getting used to it. It took me about an hour because you've got to balance it with your knees. The knees is where you use to steer this particular device. So I think it's probably going to have more commercial uses.
So it looks quite menacing. Why is it staring at Kerry Lee?
It's staring at Kerry Lee because Kerry Lee is outside the studio, but it's just got a red light. And you can change the lights using the app, etc. You can actually, use the app to guide it to go to different places. But essentially, it's being used you use it to ride around. So if it's going four times faster, if you just think about the Sandton area, for example, somebody who wants to, who uses it, who walks a lot, for example, who needs fast commuting times, I suppose this is for that kind of thing, probably in a warehouse. Listen, It's a great fun device. It costs 10,000 rand. So I don't know if it's a great device for kids because they can land up destroying a lot of things. And I must say, it's quite dangerous. The moment you download the actual app, it starts telling you this is what you must avoid. You're forced to see the safety instructions because, you know, if you think about this thing that travels at about 17, 18 kilometers an hour, you have a crash into a wall or something, you'll do serious damage to yourself. Yeah. So it's not a toy. I wouldn't say this is a toy. I think it's got more commercial applications, but you know what? I'm a child. So if I've had fun, you know, it can be classified as a toy as well. But talking about accidents, you know, you and I talk about self-driving cars quite a bit, but how's this? You know, accidents, as we know, costs, you know, cost economies billions each year. And a recent study was just done very, very recently by global positioning specialists. They basically did this whole research on how much it costs globally. And they're saying that it costs the world $340 billion every year, accidents. The U.S. topping the list of where the accidents happen, you know. But interestingly enough, South Africa has the highest percentage of GDP lost to traffic accidents in the world, 7.8%. So if you look at the, you know, comparisons relative to the amount of people that we have, we are, you know, our country has the highest stats in the world in terms of GDP lost to traffic accidents. And it probably costs South Africa around about 21 billion a year if you look at the insurance claims and everything. And what they're basically saying, they're saying that if countries implement an autonomous driving or driverless cars faster than what it's currently happening, because there's no doubt that's going to happen, it's going to save countries a lot of money. UK and Australia, they're saying that it could save those two countries $25 billion a year. So you can imagine what kind of money, what we can do with that kind of money. I was just thinking and doing the calculations. If you take technology and accelerate the technology efforts by making the lives of everybody easier. I mean, just look at education, for example, in this country. If we take a more aggressive approach to digitizing everything around us, we wouldn't have the stuff that we're having problems with at the universities, for example. We should have distance learning. We should have all of these things tackled and sorted out. So I do believe that technology in this regard can serve a greater purpose and really change things.
You know, the last time we talked about it, you'd just gone off air when someone tweeted and said, you know, have you actually tried it? Have you been inside one? And of course, you have been inside one. Because some people are like, yeah, that sounds very cool. I'm not going near one. Which is why I thought this story is so interesting. Because objectively, even if it will take time for us to re-socialize ourselves, it is actually reduced levels of exposure to risk in terms of accidents.
Well, and this has been proven. It's going to be reduced by at least 90%.
Wow.
You know, if you can reduce accidents by 90%, it's when humans aren't driving. Sure, the other dangers are that these things can get hacked and things can go horribly wrong that way. But I think we can deal with those things and tackle those things from a security point of view. But if it's going to make the world a safer place, I think that's where ultimately we're heading. And then, of course, you know, governments and institutions and that sort of thing can use the money that we save for a lot of other things.
Absolutely.
You know, you can do a lot of money with a few billion dollars every single year.
Absolutely.
Talking about technologies that have failed dismally, I remember going to the Consumer Electronics Show over the last few years, and particularly about, you know, 5-6 years ago, when all of these companies were punting 3D technology and they were selling 3D glasses and all the televisions that were coming out. And I must be honest, I was one of those people that fell for the hype as well, because you wanted to believe that, you know, this is going to change your experience and how you want to see television. But the reality is, and even you remember a few World Cups ago, they did say you'll be watching television with 3D glasses and you'll be able to look at the soccer players realistically in front of you. Well, the truth is that 3D television is dead. LG, Sony, the last two major TV manufacturers pulling out of the 3D technology on their television. Samsung started that already. And I think this all started off with Avatar, because Avatar was one of those 3D movies that really was a massive success. And, you know, people thought, well, listen, if this is successful, you know, Hollywood can take this technology, embrace it, put it on television, and people in their homes are going to be wearing 3D glasses. And you've probably got 3D glasses in your home. They've been sitting in the cupboard in front of the TV, gathering dust. You might as well forget about them there and use them as some kind of memento. It will go into a museum one day, but the 3D is dead. And I suppose,
why is that?
I think it's dead because of a few reasons. I think that the glasses were cumbersome. The glasses, you know, you needed to charge them, and you know, the vision wasn't really perfect. Even some companies, in fact, at CES a couple of years ago introduced technology that you didn't need glasses. But nobody's kind of perfected it, and it's cumbersome because you have to find the glasses, you've got to charge them. There were challenges that, you know, with dizzinesses, for example, if you were pregnant, you weren't allowed to wear them. It wasn't suitable for kids. So the barrier to get through all of those things was a challenge, and this is why the investment from Hollywood hasn't come. Now, the question has to be asked is, what's going to happen in the movie theaters? Because the movie theaters, 3D, is still quite big. You know, you still have to wear the glasses in 3D theaters. And I was having a discussion with someone over the weekend. I don't know, when was the last time you went to go and see a 3D movie?
I've never really tried them, to be honest with you.
Oh, haven't you? Yeah. Do you get dizzy from wearing 3D glasses?
Yeah, that's why I don't.
So, I think the other thing as well that people are talking about is that when you wear 3D, you compromise a lot of the quality. And the cinematography is compromised as well because you're going to give up quality to get that 3D effect. And some people saying, well, I don't want that. I want to actually, you know, get into the cinematography and why a movie's actually been shot, because you want to catch with those beautiful moments. Mm. And from that point of view, it's kind of gimmicky. But I do suppose when you look at Avatar and the success of Avatar and the success of some of the Disney movies and the animated movies, 3D is quite exciting as a technology because it's realistic. But they haven't quite cracked the combination of consumerization and getting it into the home and making it work in the home. And that's why 3D televisions died.
Okay, we'll do it again next week. I'll leave you to go and play with your battery-driven personal transportation device.
Pray I don't fall off.